In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, the writer Paul told of the God of peace being with us. This is a very powerful truth and a blessing for all who know Jesus as Savior and Lord. You are listening to the Words of Life program. Our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will use the phrase God of peace as a sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate so that this broadcast can be shared. We thank you that you are listening, and we now worship our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Lord, we know that your word teaches that you are the God of peace, and we thank you for this. Please help us to share your peace with others as we present this program today. Listeners also need your healing and your convictions. We ask that you will help world leaders to look to you for wisdom in making decisions that affect our lives. And we look forward to the promised return of Jesus when he will call us home to be with him. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now tell us about the God of peace. His scripture reference is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Words of Life Radio. As we strive to understand better the Word of God and apply it to our lives and witness its principles, promises, and prophecies to others. The title for the message this morning is, or wherever you are, maybe in the afternoon or evening, the title is God of Peace. And our key text is from the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Please listen to the Word of God. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Wonderful words from the pen of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, and applicable to all believers, Christians today, wherever you are. God knows we all, worldwide, on this old earth, have reason to be pessimistic. Probably inflation is attacking prices where you live. Inflation regarding the denomination of money that you use. Attacking prices of everything from apples to zucchini. Some so-called medical experts claim that this worldwide coronavirus and its variants will never go away. Crime is probably raging across your country, your community, just to mention a few issues. And that's not even going into, obviously, detail as to what your and my personal struggles and troubles are. If we're not careful, our attitude as we start each new day can end up in the dumps. We should understand that human beings can actually begin to change their lives by altering, adjusting their attitudes of the mind. If you keep thinking things are only going to get worse and worse, you run the risk of becoming a very negative person. But believers in Christ Jesus should be a joyful people, even in the midst of a fallen world. A concentration camp survivor of World War II has learned and stated that, quote, everything can be taken away from a person but one thing. The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, end quote. And that was from a concentration camp survivor. Ray Stedman, an evangelical preacher and author, gives this counsel as we all start our new day. Quote, don't just get up each morning. What's important is how we get up. Here is a threefold simple technique for each new day that God gives us. First, stretch. That gets the body moving. Second, smile. That puts the soul in the right attitude so that we don't start the day grumbling. Thirdly, say, God loves me. That sets our spirit right. We're reminding ourselves of our identity in that way. God loves us, especially His children, sons and daughters, adopted into God's family through the blood of Jesus Christ. Positively, body, soul, and spirit is how we can start the day right. Remember, S, at least in English, stretch, smile, say, God loves me. Don't knock this attitude adjustment until you try it. At least 7 or 14 days straight. 2 weeks. Say it. Stretch. Smile. God loves me. The Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, gives godly counsel. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think, my emphasis, about such things. Meditate. Think about it. Concentrate about these kinds of things. Sure, it's normal human nature for our minds to get clogged with the bad, sad, and negative when our environment, our circumstances just simply crash. However, especially as born-again Christians, our minds should not dwell, remain pessimistic, down and out, in the gutter. That's not for the believer. Christians can, with God's help, in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, yes, after a season of being down, can choose to get up with a more optimistic, positive attitude. Not that it will be easy, it won't, but with God's help, it can be possible, achieved. Not grumpy, but glad for a new day. Practice God's method, using Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 as our template, as our guide, to think on those things that God has given us that are positive. When our mind is dejected, downhearted, consider thinking deeply about 8 uplifting words concerning our lives. As Paul was inspired by God to write, true things, noble things, right things, pure, lovely, admirable things, anything excellent, anything praiseworthy. 8 key words that can be uniquely applied to each of us individually and according to our own given circumstances to think about. As we go through that list of words and apply them to our situations, we get our minds off of the negative. I'll illustrate with my own recent dejected mindset regarding my car, my automobile, needing to be hauled away by a wrecker to a mechanic due to engine trouble. That's never a good day. So I'll apply the words that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. True, my car broke down, but it broke down in front of AutoZone, an auto parts store in the town where I live. I could have been many, many miles out in the boonies, out in the country. But it broke down in front, literally, in front of an auto parts store. That's the truth. Second, noble. My mechanic, who worked me into his busy schedule, was able to get my car back to me, fixed, in 48 hours. That's a noble mechanic. A noble effort. So we got true. We got noble. How about right? Right was the repair bill that I could afford. It could have been upwards of $1,000. It had engine issues. It was true. It was noble. It was right. Pure. It was not pure luck. God worked it out to my benefit as I prayed about it. Lovely was the deal I found a very few days later to replace my 17-year-old car with a newer car that I could afford. Admirable was the way the car salesman treated me. Excellent was the financing that I was able to secure to buy a newer to me, automobile. Praiseworthy was the way and timing that God provided in the entire dilemma that became a delight. I ended up getting a better vehicle that was one that I could depend on, that I could afford. So what's the point? It was a despairing problem with lots of anxiety, doubts, and concerns as to how it was going to be financially worked out. The mechanic informed me that my old car was headed for major repair bills eventually. Of course, this calls for much prayer for God's guidance and comfort. Yes, it did all work out in excellent fashion rather quickly. But instead of dwelling on the negative as I thought about it, as I prayed about it, I marveled at the positive, not the negative, as it worked out. Of course, any crisis of any type can be applied to whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And yes, strive. Struggle, but with God's help, push out the negative and replace it with the positive. We weren't baptized in pickle juice. We're not grumpy old people. We need to be happy, blessed, joyful in Jesus Christ, as much as is humanly possible, with God's help. Now, this is not to suggest that loss and replacement of a car is anything remotely near the loss of, for example, a loved one that dies, that we're separated from, especially if that person was not a believer, a Christian. Yet we must all begin somewhere to heal our minds and our heavy hearts of the difficult issues that plague our lives. God, prayer, Scripture are the Christian's antidote. My father-in-law, for example, lost temporarily his dear wife, his partner for over 50 years, but finally it got into his head, as his dear wife told him before she died. She said to her husband, "Honey, I'm just going on ahead, and one glorious day we will both be changed." Quote, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." End quote. Also from the pen of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote the Corinthian church, in what is to us 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 52 through 54. Even in death, for the believer, for the Christian, there is joy ahead. But that joy is known to us now. It's been revealed to us now. We can be joyful about this now. These are things we should think on. These are truths for all who are in Christ Jesus. which we do not have to pray for. They are all promises of God to His people. And God cannot lie, nor would He ever deceive us. God is not just the great promise maker. God is the great promise keeper. God's Word, the Scriptures, reveal this to us to encourage and comfort us now as we believe it all by faith and is part of our hope in the future to be fully realized exactly as it is revealed in Scripture. Remember this morning's key Scripture. We've heard and studied and applied Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, let's also apply what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, which says in part, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. This is not just something to think about, to meditate on, to bring into our minds. We need to put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Theory is not enough. We need to practice it. Surely every one of us in these difficult days desire the peace of God in our daily walk, added to our peace with God, due to our salvation by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Christ's work on the cross on our behalf. Consider this wise counsel from a very wise Christian. Quote, words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to life. I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, more important than my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what the other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there is no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. End quote. The words of pastor and author Charles, known as Chuck Swindoll, in his book, a good book to read after the Bible, entitled Strengthening Your Grip, which has probably been translated into many different languages. So, dear listener, may the God of peace be with you, be with all of us, as we practice these truths, these principles of the Word of God.
We pray that you know the God of peace and you are blessed by him. We also pray that you've been blessed by Brother Johnson's sermon today. If you have questions regarding what you have heard, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program to listen to again or share with someone else by requesting CD 2239. That's 2239. Hearing from you is always an encouragement to us. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing the